Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning and welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Trent is taking selfies in the house.
Yeah,
I don't want to jump in.
I got my buddy.
That looks pretty good.
You're not getting in my selfie, then it wouldn't be a selfie. It'd be a selfies.
All right, well, Sunday 9 to 10, we're always here Sunday 9 to 10 on WBT 1110 AM 99.3 FM. What you got?
So I was sending this selfie to Michael Tall, YPO buddy down in Charleston, who texted this morning, said you need to get on the radio. He said definitely down on the radio show whenever you want. So I was just trying to, you know, get him a little juiced up, get him a little excited.
Gotcha. I got Michael Tall?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, good, real good friends with Chris Fay, who's
all
been
right
on the show.
All right.
Your buddy.
Yes.
My buddy. But
yes.
Your lifetime buddy.
Also, a client with whom we are beginning a project with shortly.
Amen.
And today we have Eric Sprouse, who is a client that we finished a project recently.
Really? Are we done?
Pretty much.
Oh, my
word.
I'm
sure he's got something that he
might
pick up on.
We're going to talk about his project before he can speak.
No.
He's over there. He's in a straitjacket.
We're not going to do that. We'll let him come tell the story.
They locked us up in the studio, didn't they?
Yeah.
We hemmed up.
I think we
used to run around here like we had in the joint.
That's exactly what I told Eric in the lobby.
Now we in a straitjacket.
Yep.
Goodness.
You're all about some that second straitjacket reference of the day, by the way.
I'm going to do it eight times.
So, Trent, I was on somebody else's podcast. I don't know if you've seen this yet or not. Brandon Doyle, who's our Blue Corona rep, does like digital advertising and stuff. And it is different being on the other side.
You don't know if I've seen this or not?
Yeah.
I mean, have you shared the podcast with me?
No,
I mean, like, you think I'm Googling, like,
no, man.
Patrick podcast non-At Home with Roby.
It's pretty out there on LinkedIn. I think Eric said he might have even seen it. So, yeah.
So what, were you nervous?
I watched like the first 5 minutes and I haven't been able to get through it.
Well, Patrick, just so you understand, there are personality types on this earth that don't get nervous behind the wheel.
I don't think I was nervous. You just, you know, it was videoed, which we don't do.
Videoed.
We used to do that here.
Well, have you watched our town hall video?
No.
From the company.
Uh-uh.
So Christian sent it out, kind of like this show. I'm there, so I don't need to
watch it either.
Necessarily watch it. It was mainly for the people that don't listen well,
mm-hmm,
or missed it in our company. But
or newcomers coming on, yeah.
But I kept it up as an email. I'm gonna try to get my wife and kids to watch it because I truly want their feedback on how we can improve.
That's a good idea.
Actually,
there you go.
And I'm wondering what's the over-under on they're going to be like, you're dumb, we're not watching it, or, yeah, we'll watch it and give you good feedback.
So I have some recent experience with that. When the podcast, when I first got it, I got it Monday morning that I was on, and I was taking Scarlett to the doctor, her doctor's appointment, and I played about 60 seconds, and she was like, this is boring, I don't want to hear it anymore.
Wow.
I was like, man, shut me down like that? And she wanted to go back to listening to One Republic or one of those guys, you know, so.
My kids are now into Jack Johnson.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and then the day, hour or so ago before I came here, I was thinking about my dad. I stopped by the Bojangles on Wilkinson Boulevard by myself and went in and ate me a chicken sandwich and some fries. You can't do that every day, but you got to do it every now and then. And sat where we used to sit all the time and Jack Johnson came on the piped radio, and I took a video and sent it to all my girls and said,
that's
hey,
cool.
I came in here thinking about Pops, now I'm thinking about y'all. So it's pretty cool.
He might have been dropping a little nugget on you.
You know, I think he did that. You think he said, pow, pow, pow. I don't know. He doesn't know who Jack Johnson is. Actually, I was listening to a lot of Jack Johnson rolling with Pops during them t- tough times of 09 and 10.
I was about to say, that's about when I was going through a Jack Johnson phase, probably like early 2000s, college and right out after college.
But the kid, well, it wasn't right after college for me, young whipper-dipper.
I got it.
Oh, and then and then you got George Strait, Amarillo by Morning. And The Way Forward. Did I talk about this on the show, the way he asked his girlfriend to be his girlfriend?
I don't think so.
He said, I don't know how he wrote a Valentine. The teacher had the kids write a Valentine, and he wrote a Valentine. Rowan helped him with this. He said, I want to write a Valentine, and I want to do check yes or no.
Okay.
So he wrote the Valentine and said, I don't really know how this is supposed to go, but I think the way George Strait says it is, will you please check yes or no? And they were showing it, the teachers were showing her around the school, and she checked yes. And you, when you listen to that song by George Strait, she's
exactly
in the third grade.
Okay.
Miraculously, it's the same grade. And then I asked him yesterday how his girlfriend was doing, and he told me to hush. He didn't want to talk about it. And I think she came and told him that they were in the third grade. They didn't need to be boyfriend and girlfriend. They just be friends. I said, that had to come from the top.
That's coming from upstairs there. Yeah, you've got girls, too. You
get
that.
I said, cuz, you got the elbow dropped on you. Yeah. I said, how's that feel? He said, hush, I don't want
to
talk about
get used
it. I'm embarrassed.
Hey, man. At first, you don't succeed. Try again.
He succeeded, and then he got
thumped.
Dumped.
Yeah.
I think it's with a D.
Oh.
Not a TH. All right, introduce our guest, Patrick.
We've got Eric Sprouse. I think we're going to hear some entrepreneurial stories, maybe talk a little
bit
about
excited.
His project. He had a lot going on. He's got a lot of cool stuff to tell us.
You know, Eric, every time I talk about wanting some cool old car or something, I'm like, I need to go get a job. And then I try to get through that and figure out.
We buy vegetable trucks.
I need a building to put it in.
A vegetable truck. We've done that.
Hey, thank you for being here. You will be right back at home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Roby Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Trent, tell them where they can go find it.
On all social media outlets, formerly known as Twitter.
No,
I don't know.
Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. It's all good.
Am I wrong?
I was going to say Facetagram.
I messed that up.
No, you're good. I think we're all right.
Why did you put me on the spot? Goodness gracious.
That's what we do here on the At Home with Roby. And welcome to the show, Eric. Now, we're not going to put you on the spot. Trent, I don't know. This might be the first time you and Eric have met.
It is. Maybe we've met in passing. Do you remember meeting me?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, Eric is, as you well know, is a wonderful client of Roby Commercials, and he is the owner of a property that you have been by, and most people probably have been by many times, pretty close to 77 area. But in a previous business life, you were in the billiard business.
I had dealt with billiards for 35 years.
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Had a good run at it. It was a lot of fun.
Really? What got you into the billiards business?
Well, I wanted an antique pool table in my house, and I went looking for one and found one, and all my friends liked it too. And, you know, I thought this might be a good thing to do as a business model, you know, and because nobody was doing that back then, and there wasn't a place in Charlotte where you could take a date and shoot pool. So I thought, you know, this might work. And I started looking for buildings and put something together, and it was a big success. And, you know, heretofore, you know, I did this in 79, and back then, upscale billiards was an oxymoron, you know.
Yeah.
And so it really worked out good, and people came, and it was successful from day one.
What? Yeah. Are you from Charlotte?
I was going to ask the same question.
I grew up in Rock Hill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Graduated from Rock Hill High and Winthrop.
Okay.
And I moved to Charlotte in 75 and was in the insurance business. I sold group insurance for a while, and all my clients had small businesses, and I wanted a small business too because they were doing good and I was having to work too hard.
You were selling group insurance.
That's right. And so I opened Dilworth Billiards in October 79, and it really went over big, and people started wanting antique tables, and we were the only people that had them, and put a lot of nice tables all over the place and in Charlotte and elsewhere, and enjoyed going looking for them. That was my passion, was the antique table
kind
of part
the,
of
the
business.
Hunt. Were you always there on Tremont? Was that the location for the long haul? That where you
yep.
started?
Started at the corner of Cleveland Tremont in 79, and it worked out great. And I ended up buying that building, which was a huge thing, and worked out real good. And so for 35 years, well, we never had a bad month, even during the 08 and one other, 91, I think, the two plateau years.
Yeah, financial.
We didn't go backwards. We didn't go forwards, but we didn't go backwards. We held our own and then made up for it the next couple of years. But we made money every year.
Really? So billiards is a resilient economy. Wow.
So I'm just like in my head thinking about Tremont and Cleveland in 1979. Which, to give you some perspective, I was talking to Brian Katzenmeyer, a friend of ours, yesterday, and his business is about to build, like, I think, a 32-story tower across the street where Tiber Creek used to be.
Yep.
What all was there in 1979? I mean, I just am curious if what was nearby.
It was run-down mill houses.
Yeah.
And a lot of scary people. You know, I'd like to have opened up at South Park, but I wasn't sure whether my business model was going to work, so I had to take what I could get. And but you know, it was really bizarre because you know, we had a lot of people. I used to say that the cats dressed up like dogs back then.
I've never heard that.
It was bizarre, and but you know, it got better fast, and people started buying up those houses for $10,000 a piece.
Unbelievable! Mm. I remember so my very first job was at Ferguson Enterprises, which was right across the street from you,
one block up the street.
Yep, on Tremont, and that was in 2004, and it wasn't great then.
No,
and I can only imagine. You know, we've had the Presleys on here before talking about, you know, how they sort of had the reconnaissance or sort of revitalized that area.
They did.
I mean, it probably was a little sketchy there at times.
Very sketchy.
So, here you are with these very expensive, I guess it's really hard to steal a pool table.
Well,
or a billiards, sorry.
A lot of those people wanted to come in and they thought it was a pool room, and it really wasn't. So it took a while for them to figure out that was not a good place to hang for them, and then the neighborhood people started buying the houses, and just that's the way it worked, and it got better fast. And then I had a following of a lot of people that was previously with me in the insurance business, and they were very successful, and they would come in my place with their wives, and it didn't take long to have the right people coming in.
Sure.
And then it really worked out good, and then I had it full of antique pool tables, and nobody else knew where you could go see an antique pool table, and then everybody wanted one. And we really started selling a lot of antique pool tables, and that was the fun of the business for me. But
So when you started the business in 79, did you rent the space there?
I did. The business building wasn't for sale, and I couldn't have afforded it anyway, but rented it for 36 months, and the owners of the building lived. The owner of the building lived across the street. He had Charlotte Heating and Air, and it was in that building beside the cab stand, and it's still there, and it's very valuable now. And you know, I did my 36-month lease, and then I tried to buy it from him, and he said he would sell it to me, and so we got together after a few months of negotiation, and. I bought the building and went down to Mutual to try to get the loan. And my banker at the time was Don Whiteman. He was the past president of the Small Business Administration. And he said, "I want to tell you," he said, "we've never had a pool room apply for the to buy a building before." And I said, "Well," I said, "you know, I want to be the first." And he loaned us the money, and it, you know, worked out great. And, you know, and it was a huge thing, and then came the Panthers and the light rail and everything that happened would just double and triple the value of my building. It just went absolutely crazy, and it made me look good on paper. And you know, so it really worked out good. I love the building. It's a 1947 commercial building, 2,800 feet on each floor, and I live upstairs. And it really works out nice. And
you live upstairs?
I do. Top of the building, above Dilworth Tasting Room.
You've lived there since 79?
Yeah.
You moved in up top and rented, and down below was your storefront.
Well, upstairs was 4 one-bedroom apartments, and I had one of those, and the rest were rented for storage and stuff, and they were terrible. They were horrible. And my girlfriend used to say that you'd spend your last money on pool memorabilia, but you got holes in the sheetrock. I said, well, you know something, sheetrock is the same price it was last year, and this memorabilia has tripled in value.
Ooh.
Priorities, that's right.
Dang.
That's right. That's the truth. It worked. But it's a beautiful building, and it's really, really nice. I had Ed Springs Interiors make all 4 of them one big condo.
Okay.
So it's really nice, and I couldn't think of a better place to live. You know, I mean, it's convenient to everything, and, you know, I can walk to Sullivan's or Tite's and, you know, and all kind of places now. And, you know, and then Tiber Creek's going to be huge. And then right behind me, behind Mr. K's, is a 12-story condo that went up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're almost done. They've topped it out. And it's just unbelievable what's happened to that neighborhood.
On
it's
a sliver of land.
Mm-hmm.
My father grew up on McDonald.
Really?
Yes, sir.
That 3/4-acre sliver sold for $5 million.
That's crazy. Hey, Eric, will you stick around?
Sure.
We got a true Charlotte, from Rock Hill, but Charlotte hustler on the radio show today. If you're not having fun, Eric Sprouse, when we return, you're listening to At Home with Rose.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Hastings from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last couple of segments, you have to go back and listen to Eric Sprouse. Unbelievable.
Man.
Dilworth Billiards.
What a great storyteller.
Unreal.
I mean, he's just telling it how it is, and it's a story.
That's right. That's
what it's about. Everybody says, where you come up with all these stories? I said, we live with them, man. That's all there is to it. All the good comedians and stuff, they just talk about what they observe in life. Time out. I want to say something. You said Ed Springs Interiors helped you turn 4 apartments into 1 on that top floor. I haven't talked to Ed. Is Ed still living?
No.
Man, I had some business dealings with Ed 15 so years ago, and he was such a good man to deal with.
Great guy.
Such a staple for Dilworth.
Unbelievable.
I mean, really, Myers Park, I mean, he helped do a lot of interiors on the building we did on Fenton Place, and he was such a lovely person to deal with.
Great guy. He and Bo Henderson did mine. And, you know, every time they have an ASID designer house, they would always get the gentleman's retreat, they called it, the library or the nice room. And when they did the one on Dilworth Road, Scott Lovejoy's house, they wanted a nicer pool table than he had, and he had a beautiful table. But I put mine in there. I've got a really nice one, and I loaned it to him for a couple of weeks, and that's when I met these guys. And because I'd been to a lot of places, they'd done the thing, and we just never met. You know, they would fix up a room for a pool table, and then I'd come behind them and put a killer pool table in there.
Yeah.
And so we met, and it worked out real good because they have a house in Blowing Rock with a 26-by-26-foot room overlooking the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Oh,
it's fantastic. And so is the pool table I put in there.
Really?
It's unbelievable.
Man, that is cool. That is good.
I got to see some of your pictures.
Thank you for telling me that.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I'm glad. That's cool that you remember. That's amazing.
No, yeah. He was, you know, generation before me, but he treated me with full respect. His style was so awesome. His clients loved him. It's the true, the Roby Triangle is equal because there ain't nobody better than anybody else, and we all going to get along and do it right. And he was the epitome of that.
That's absolutely right.
I will say that. So
cool.
All right, now what were you going, Pastor? I cut you off.
No, you're completely fine. That was awesome, by the way. That was cool. Just the history there was pretty. I did not know that. Obviously, that was before my time with Roby. But no, I want to talk about your product. Like, where you found these things, and what was some of your favorites, and was it estate sales, things of that nature, or?
Well, when I got started, there was not an internet, so
yeah.
There was a trade publication called Antique Trader. And I'd always get one of those, and I'd see tables in all over the place. And the one I got for myself was in there, and it was in Colorado Springs. And
wow.
And it was really, really nice, and I knew it was going to go for a bunch of money. But
time out. How did you know it was going to go for a bunch of money?
Because it was a very inlaid Victorian table.
Because of the hand, craftsmanship.
Because of the model of it, and I knew I needed to get it if I could. And it was going to cost $1,500 to fly out there and look at it. And so I just requested pictures, better pictures of all four sides. And I was going to take a chance and get it without having to spend that extra on it. And so I did, and it worked out great. Had it shipped to Charlotte, had it redone, and it is fantastic, and it's in my house now. And
wow.
How do you like that hustle?
Really nice.
What year was that when you bought that?
That was in the... probably 85.
85. Mm-hmm. Man.
And it's a 130-year-old table, and it's worth $25,000 at least.
Goodness gracious.
I can see Trent's wheels spinning right now.
I'm a collector.
He is a collector.
I'm going this. Yeah. Have you always been a collector as a kid and growing up?
Not really. Just pool memorabilia. I've got some really cool pool memorabilia. I bought a transom out of a hotel in Kennebunk, Maine, from the Antique Trader, that says billiards in leaded glass, and it's purple and orange and purple and green, and at the time it was the Hornets colors.
And dang.
This is unbelievable, and I got it in my office, and it looks really, really nice. That was a little too nice to put in the pool room downstairs.
Well, what makes you decide if you want to trade something and move it
or keep it
to make a little paper? Or keep it for your own collection?
Well, if I get two or three, I mean, a lot of things, I had to get four or five to get them. It was all or none. So, like, I bought five beautiful stick racks out of Chicago, and they were all expensive. So I couldn't keep them at the time. I mean, I was flying close to the trees.
flying close to the trees. I love that.
Goodness gracious.
That's great. So, how much, I mean, four or five stick, I mean, how much is an expensive stick rack?
Well, if $3,000 or $4,000 a piece,
oh, my goodness.
At,
yeah.
at
yeah.
retail, and
yeah.
I've got one in my the one of them is still in my house in front of that nice table, and the other ones I sold off and got my money back, and you know it worked out good. That's how you decide. If it's a one off thing, it's going to my house, but if I can get two or three of them, you know I'll put some for sale. But I'm going to get the best one.
So, is the motif of your house all billiards?
My office and living room, or the pool room in the place, is in fact a lot of it that way. But it's really nice stuff. It's just not whimsical stuff.
Let me ask you this: so how did you get out of the business? And what year did you get out of the business?
May of 2015. That was my 35th year, and I closed it up and. Tom Sorensen came and did a nice story on me, a front page story,
yeah,
on the, actually, and of me closing it up. And I'd done it. I turned 65. I'd done it long enough. My two key employees had been there 30 years apiece, and I could have retired a little earlier, but I waited till they were ready. And it just the timing was perfect. And you know, your beer and liquor license comes due every April, or May, and I just timed everything to organically close, and it was the perfect thing to do, because after that I wanted to be a landlord, and because I had an unbelievable space downstairs to rent and a gorgeous courtyard beside it, and you know, found the perfect tenant, and it worked out real good.
Man, that is really, really cool. Do you still find some things for your old friends and customers sometimes?
I really do. I mean, a lot of my customers were my age, and they're downsizing, and I'm selling some of their tables for them that I sold in the first place. And I just recently helped Josh Phillips to put a table in his home.
Really?
He's got a very nice table.
Wow.
He was looking for a table, and he was on Marketplace, and he was trying to, wing it and didn't know. I said, man, that's an import. You don't want that. You want a real table. And I steered him in the right direction, and he got a nice one.
Really?
Absolutely.
That is a cool story. Oh, Josh Phillips. You built a relationship with Josh through your project?
Josh, he's a great guy.
He is a great guy.
Yeah, he's got quite the job having to trying to keep all the frogs in the wheelbarrow.
I know his daddy. His dad's been on the radio. His dad came on the radio,
really?
Randy Phillips, 4 or 5 years ago. Talking about the business he works in, metal recycling business, right? You remember that, Patrick? That was before your time. You wet behind the ears, son.
Yeah, he had Brian Rodriguez as your PM.
Brian's a great guy too. Those are good guys. I really appreciate working with both of them. And like I was telling Patrick, they gave me the coolest thing, enlarged copy of the my architectural plans showing my cars in the garage. It's really nice. I had it framed and put in the warehouse in my garage, and that was very nice of them. They're great guys.
Well, you're not supposed to start talking about the cars. I was saving that for the last segment. We got about a minute left here on this segment. I got a question for you. So you seem to have embraced and be excited about the changes in your corridor.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think it's cool, but, you know, you get some people that have been there for 30 or 40 years, and they go, oh, it's terrible. They messing it all up. I think, as my dad says, everything goes in circles, son. It just changes.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. It's for the better. I mean, that's the way it's coming. I mean, you've got to have a place to put all these people that are coming to Charlotte.
Yeah. Amen.
The neighborhood is, South End is as hot as it gets. You know, it's a great neighborhood. And when I was open, you know, everybody was worried about parking. Well, that's not even an issue anymore because Dilworth Tasting Room is full every single night. And people come from the condos around.
Yeah.
Or every morning I'll try to go to my car and there'll be 5 or 6 of those electric scooters on the sidewalk.
Yeah, or take an Uber. You're right. I mean, there's so many ways to get around these days. They're so convenient.
Uber's huge.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to go commercial. Eric, I want you to stick around. I want to talk about what you're collecting now.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Eric Sprouse. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. If you've missed the last few segments, Eric Sprouse is our guest. Unbelievable, going through Charlotte history, talking about Dilworth, South End, the whole thing. If you missed it, obviously you can go to Facebook, Instagram,
this is a good
or
one.
LinkedIn.
Eric is on point.
Eric Sprouse is on point. Has been a great client to us, and just such a cool story. I didn't know all the history of your I knew what you did, and I knew kind of what you were about, but I haven't heard these stories before. And I did read the Tom Torrance, that you can find it on the internet. And you were joking around when you were collecting all this stuff. There was no internet. You said that, and I'm like, how in the world? We got it so easy now.
I thought he was bluffing that there was no internet in 79. But he might be on to something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the project that we did for you is, I don't want to say it incorrectly, what do you call the space?
Well, it's a garage for the storage of my toys.
Of your toys. And what are these toys?
Well, I have a 79 Porsche 911 SC, 43-year-old car with 85,000 miles on it. And I have a 97 993 Carrera. And I got an 87 Silverado pickup that I had restored because I bought it for the bar in 14 because you had to recycle your bottles and cans to the 11th Street Recycling Center to comply with the ABC. And it was the paint job was terrible, and the interior looked like tigers had been in there fighting. And so when I retired, everybody said, what are you going to do with that old pickup? And I said, I'm going to have it restored. Because my cars were nice, and I can't drive around in this thing, so I had it totally restored, and it looks like $1 million, and I got way too much money in it, of course, but I think that's probably part of it. But you know, it worked out real good. I paid $4,200 for it at a pawn shop in Harrisburg. Saw it on Craigslist.
Harrisburg.
And, and you know, it's pretty cool. But
you bought your truck
stay.
For $4,200 at a pawn shop on Craigslist in Harrisburg.
Harrisburg, right. Pennsylvania. Ironically, I just got back from there. That's a whole different story.
This is Harrisburg, North Carolina.
Oh, Harrisburg. Yeah. Okay, all right. I thought maybe you were talking about Pennsylvania.
Come on. He's from Rock Hill. He ain't from Rock Hill, well, Arizona.
He talked about going to Maine and talking about going to Colorado Springs.
I didn't go there. Had them shipped to me.
Had them shipped. Yeah,
never went
fair
there.
Enough.
A little bit of I picked up from that story a little bit of trust in that, and sometimes you got to have some faith.
That's it.
And go out on a limb, fly near the trees.
That's it.
That is cool. I completely agree. Especially every day I live, God blesses me with another day. It isn't all about for profit and stuff. Sometimes you just get upside down, but you do it for the right reasons. Isn't that right?
The guy who designed my logo, Everett Carpenter, told me one time, he said, you know, some things are worth what they cost to own.
Amen. I agree.
That's a really well
Can't agree more.
Great way to say it.
So you are a collector of sorts. So what all, I haven't seen the space that we did for you. What all is in the space besides your toys?
Well, some art that I like a lot and you know, and I stressed Josh to tell the subs that this is not a garage. I didn't want them to
oh yeah, showing up thinking that you're gonna be changing oil and things
right,
like that.
Right, right. And I wanted them to think showroom,
of course.
And
yep.
White walls for the art to look good and great looking floor, really cool floor and epoxy and the whole thing looks great and worked out great. I got my speed bag in there. That's something I work out with all the time. I've done it forever and I need to have a place for it, and you know, it's just a really cool space.
Do you go there every day?
Every day.
Every day.
So this is your real office, right? I mean,
well, no, not really, but you know, I do my business in my office, a real office with the billiards transom in there and all my memorabilia. But I go there every morning to wipe my cars down. I don't have a garage. That's the whole reason I did this. My building sits on the property lines. So, when I had my red car and my truck stored beside where Zach's Hamburgers used to be in that South End storage, you know, I kept getting run off because, you know, they would sell the property to go up five stories and I'd have to find another place. And the next place I went was almost to 485 public storage. And that's just too far to go get your stuff. You know, if I want to go to a car show, I like to run, grab my car, and zoom up there. This place is 1 mile from my house. Now, that's pretty far to have a garage from your house, but it's really close in the grand scheme of things because think of where the closest storage units are that holds a car. They're way out.
This is something else, man.
I told you, we're hanging out over there. Yeah.
I mean, and I might, maybe even occasionally might drink a pop or two. But I don't know. So I want to say this. I said this before we went on the air. Thank you for the business.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you guys for doing it. Did a great job.
And I can tell where your heart and soul is. Thank you for what you do for our city. And this is very true. Moving and shaking in the world of business and being Andrew Roby for years and years, a lot of people over time asked me if we had met. I have never really met you. It's so cool to meet you. Can't wait to become your friend.
I can't wait either.
Man. Listen, go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around on your face. Thank you for listening. Eric Sprouse, entrepreneur for Dilworth Billiards. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.